C2M. Number 7A.
We come now to the last subject, a rather big one that takes over 4 pages, which is proportionally very long for one subject in the chapter on marriage, because now we come to the climax of the whole development through the chapter. We'll see how the very first 5 main tones and subjects are all concerned with those concessions that have to be made in order that marriage can bring some kind of stability into civilization, so that mankind can be elevated through a right sense of wedding ourselves to spiritual qualities. We had those spiritual qualities in mind to wed ourselves with the law-abiding and law and regulation-obeying qualities, then in spirit that we are wedding ourselves to all the spiritual qualities, no matter if they are male or female qualities, so that we wed ourselves with all the qualities of God, and not just a few ones. Then in spirit, in soul, we could see that we have to wed ourselves to selflessness, which means that we wed ourselves to the interest of others, so that we have a common interest and identity of interest, so to say that our prosperity and our advancement depends on how much we see the relationship with the other and support the other individualities and their mission. Then in principle, it was shown that each one should wed himself to the one principle, to science, so that everyone that is wedded to the central point of science is therefore always in harmony with each other. Being in unity with principle, we are in unity with each other, with all those who also refer to that one principle. And then we had in life that very important subject of wedding ourselves to refined qualities, to nobler qualities, so that the progeny will also inherit those nobler qualities, better minds and better health, better bodies. So all that remained in the realm of the mortal human, and at the point where we touched truth, the sixth subject, then we had for the first time the demand to wed ourselves to metaphysical ideas, that life should be regarded more metaphysically. So that there, suddenly, there is a turn which says, but after all, our aim towards which we are living and striving is that God is our Father, that the divine mind is creating us, that we are the offspring of spirit, that we are equal in soul, that in principle there is just one man, the generic man, so that life is our Father, Christ truth is our guider, he is our Redeemer, our Savior, and that finally in love we have a sense of that sense that we should wed ourselves to the spiritual. And that is the threshold to the last big subject of love, where we have the epitome that spiritual unity in love, namely through a stronger adherence to the spiritual. Now here comes in now the spiritual, that it brings more and more into evidence the man of God's creation. So up to this point we had to deal with the human, with the mortal, but now after the transitionary a stage of truth where we begin to see that life has to be regarded more metaphysical. Now we know that above the metaphysical is really science and the spiritual, that is the ultimate for us. So suddenly we have still a higher sense, namely to wed ourselves to the spiritual. As I always said, in every one of those subjects, first I run through those terms that appear in this tone, which indicates what we should adhere to. And we see here that the term spiritual occurs and occurs again and again, the spiritual understanding, which we didn't have before. That's why it is so important, or I would say helpful, if you fill out this chart that we had looked at yesterday, you know, and fill out what kind of ideas are actually, you don't have to take it, renderings we find in the text that support really these epitomes. For instance, here we have in the last one, stronger adherence to the spiritual. Well, this is not just one rendering in the text is full. It says that we should that there should be spiritual ascendancy, not legal or moral ascendancy, spiritual ascendancy. Spiritual consciousness is needed. We learn how spirit creates men and women in science. We find the truth of being. Then spiritually to understand that there is but one creator and to educate spiritually. So in this way we hear constantly, now we come out of the purely mental and the purely metaphysical, the ordinary metaphysical, and begin to touch the third degree, the highest degree, the superlative, so to say, namely the spiritual. This is the first time in the chapter that this subject is taken up. Now, we can ask ourselves, naturally, that's a nice statement, that we should have a stronger adherence to the spiritual, but then, as a scientist, we always ask, how can that be done? What are the ways and means to do that? What is implied by it? What are the implications of it? So I have asked that question in the epitome and I have said, how does love bring forth in a greater measure the men of God's creation? So through what spiritual adherence now is the man of God's creation, that's in the epitome, brought forth? What is necessary? What is the attitude? And when we read it, we can see that she builds it up in the seven subtones. And what we will also notice in here is that this last tone is very forcible, that she will use the term will again and again. She uses it four times, or the term must two times, or ought two times, so that we get the feeling it is inevitable. The ascendancy from the mortal to the spiritual is inevitable. The Christ will force the ascendancy out of the material into the spiritual. The Christ is that which says, I don't let loose until I have saved everybody and everything. In the subtone of mind, we get the epitome, as the human mind becomes more aware of its own insufficiency, it at last, we always have then at last, in the end, We always add up to now in the text, until so and so happens, until then this and this is permitted. But then what comes at last? And it at last demands a higher affection. So we will hear here really something interesting, that it says that the human mind, as it becomes more and more aware that it is insufficient, that it cannot really establish a harmonious relationship, a harmonious marriage, then finally the human mind is so disillusioned that it says there must be something else, and makes him bend the knees and turn away from the old and says there must be some higher power, some higher affection. So that we see that even the disappointment in marriage has a great spiritual fact, it's a great spiritual value. It has that value that turns us away finally from the wrong and turns us towards the right and wants to adhere to the higher. In other words, whatever happens, it can only be a blessing for us. The text shows that it is a short paragraph, and the side note already gives us an indication, powerless promises of a covenant, of a treaty, whatever that is, not only a marriage covenant, it can also be a treaty between nations or between people or anything. So the powerlessness of these covenants are a good sign, namely that show us that we have been relying on something wrong, that we have trying to bind together what God has not joined together. We so often bind ourselves to people or to friends or to a club or to a society or to an organization or whatever that is in the first place not divine and therefore is powerless, and we are disillusioned and we turn away, and this turning away is only a blessing. She says, the broadcast powers of evil, so conspicuous today, show themselves in the materialism and sensualism of the age. You have here, so to say, the powerlessness of the material sense and the sensual sense, materialism and sensualism of the age. And they are struggling against the advancing spiritual idea. So we can see the moment that a covenant is not based on the spiritual alone, but is based on perhaps egotistic motives, on personal motives, on material motives, as well as on sensual motives, that cannot succeed. And that is struggling against the spiritual era, because we should be united spiritually and not egotistically, not humanly. We cannot enslave another person by a covenant, by a pact. We must let people free. Everyone has the right to be free, to develop the way he or she wants to develop and how the Christ wants them to develop. So that everything that is not based on a spiritual unity is powerless in the end. It can work for a while, but there is always the day of truth. And then it shows that it is not right. So, beholding the world's lack of Christianity, with which she means that we are working against the spiritual era, building the world's world usually stands for the materialism, lack of Christianity, and the powerlessness of vows to make home happy. The human mind, that's now interesting, the human mind will at length demand a higher affection. This is really important to see also in practice, also when we have situations that are not harmonious, be it personal relations, the family, be it the nation, be it whatever, the whole world. We will always have to see that what is not based on the spiritual will at length see its insufficiency. And then it will ask, and not may ask. It will turn them at length and demand a higher affection. This is a terrific point of love as mind. Love wants to save everybody and to save everything. And it uses for that the power of mind, which says whatever rests on the human mind will not stand in the long run. There comes a time where it will break down, where it will destroy itself, and then when that point comes, when then there is a kind of a vacuum, then they will at length demand a higher affection. That's the first tone. The second just connects itself with it, and we come to the tone of spirit. Here we have the epitome for love as spirit. In the transitional period, by a stronger adherence to the spiritual, all evil and impurity will be thrown off through mental fermentation. And we get again that sense, well, the moment in mind something breaks down and one begins to see that we have been building on the wrong basis, that's mind, on the wrong basis, and it doesn't work, then we will turn to the spiritual, but we can never really turn from one day to the next day, to from the material to the spiritual. There will always be a transitional stage where a struggle goes on, where we are struggling to get away from the wrong and to adhere to the spiritual. And this is a period, a transitional period. The side note also shows transition and reform. And we get a period of fermentation, of crisis that goes on. So the moment naturally we have to deal with worldwide problems, with problems that concern the whole of mankind, then this transitionary period naturally will take sometimes centuries. That's not something as with an individual, like with soul, that in one split second, so to say, turned into a pole, that the individual sometimes can do in seldom cases, but usually it takes a transitionary period. So Mrs. Eddies takes here this question and says, there will, and again you can see the will, there will ensue a fermentation over this as over many other reforms. And we get at last the clear straining of truth, and impurity and error are left among the lees. So the point is that we see it will. There is not just a possibility. It's not just it might come out right. In the long run, it will, because in the long run, the evolution of the spiritual idea is an ascending line, is an ascending trend. Over the centuries and the thousand-year period, we see that ascending line, and there was never really a break in between, never a backward step properly in the long run. And so this, there will ensue a fermentation. She doesn't say right here, after the tone of love and mind, where she said the human mind will at length demand a higher affection, that then she says, then we are off, then it's fine, then there will ensue a spiritual unfoldment. She says there will ensue a fermentation. we can see that very easily, that it takes time. So there will be a fermentation, and in that fermentation we always have spirit dividing what is right from that, what is wrong. It's the second day, the day of that firmament. So that we get at last, she says, get at last. You see again, it's a time sense in it, looking forward. It's not right now, it's not instantaneous. We always like to have instantaneous healings and an instantaneous solution of a problem, but that is not always the right thing. If we're in the plan of love, it is meant that we go through an inner reformation and transformation, then it usually takes time and takes new experiences in life in order to bring this about. So we get at last on one side the clear straining of truth, and on the other side the impurities and error are left among the lees. We see that always in the second day, that it begins to separate before we can gather really the wheat into the barn. There is the time of separation. She takes up that term fermentation again. You know, fermentation is the counterfeit of spirit and of the alchemy of spirit. In the alchemy of spirit, we are always sure that it dechemicalizes a chemicalized condition. That spirit can do that because spirit is the only and has no counterpart, no counterfeit, no opposite, and therefore there is never a fermentation possible in spirit. But in the working out of spirit, we have that struggle between those two opposites, and therefore a crisis, a fermentation. So the fermentation, even of fluids, is not pleasant. An unsettled transitional stage is never desirable on its own account. It makes it very clear that such a fermentation is not desirable on its own account, but it must be. For its own account, we don't like it. That's what she says. We don't like it. And actually, we shouldn't need to have it if we would be scientists and would work out right from the beginning things on the basis of science. But as we are not yet angels in heaven, we may not be able to work out everything right from scratch on the basis of science, and may make all those many mistakes, all that mingling of opposite. And so that transitional stage is therefore desirable for our development, not as a desirable state. We don't like it. Nobody of us likes those crises. But if we see the law behind it and we say, all right, if I go through such a crisis, then I know that something good is at work, and therefore it's desirable in the last run, in the long run. We go on. Matrimony, which was once a fixed fact among us, must lose its present slippery footing, and men must find permanence and peace in a more spiritual adherence. She is indicating really that marriage and matrimony must undergo great changes. That's what she could see 100 years ago, that's what we see today. Everybody's aware that matrimony must undergo great changes and must lose, as she says, again, we have the must lose its present slippery foothold, and men must, now you get the other side of it, must find permanence and peace in a more spiritual adherence. You see again the separation that takes place within ourselves, that we get rid of a slippery foothold in matrimony if it's only based on the mortal and the human qualities and not on the spiritual qualities. Somehow it will not work. And finally, we are so disappointed, we go through such a fermentation and through such a crisis, that it is only good for us, namely that we finally give in and say, well, I built on a wrong basis, I better turn towards the right and to a more spiritual adherence. Can you see again, for in this subject of love, we always come to the spiritual, which she didn't really touch upon in the preceding subject. Then again, she goes on with that chemicalization. The mental chemicalization which has brought conjugal infidelity to the surface, will, again you have will, assuredly throw off this evil, and marriage will become purer when the scum is gone. Can you hear the tone of spirit in it very easily? It's again about the fermentation which has what effect? Namely that it separates, spirit separates, it throws off the evil on one side, and on the other side, the marriage will become purer when the scum is gone. Very nice as a presentation here of what's going on. So that when we get into this turmoil, that we know this is good, this is not evil, the Christ is at work, the Christ wants to purify a situation, and wants that we see the higher sense of marriage than the human marriage, namely to be married to the spiritual, to more spiritual adherence. Very wonderful. Yes. Then we would come to the next subtone of soul. Here we have the epitome, holding steadfastly to the spiritual in the midst of adversity, tribulations, sorrow, and trials. Can you see the counterfeit of soul? Adversity, tribulations, sorrow, and trials, that has nothing to do with the joy of soul, with the balance of soul, with the satisfaction of soul. But that assuredly holds in itself God's blessing. So again, she shows that if these counterfeits of soul come up in a marriage covenant, or in a relationship, or in a government, or in a country, or in the world, we surely can see that something is at work.